Welcome to the Deep Dive. You've been digging into some really interesting research on lipid nanoparticles for RNA delivery.
Yeah, it's a pretty exciting field to be in right now.
Definitely. And today's Deep Dive is all about unpacking that research. We're going to explore the most important and fascinating aspects of this technology. Ready to dive in?
Absolutely, let's do it.
All right, so to start, we've got to address the why behind all this excitement about lipid nanoparticles, or LNPs as we'll be calling them. LNPs are all about RNA delivery, right?
Exactly. RNA has this incredible potential to revolutionize how we treat diseases.
Because you can essentially deliver instructions to cells to produce therapeutic proteins.
Exactly. The challenge, though, and this is where LNPs come in, is that RNA is incredibly fragile. It degrades quickly on its own, and our immune system sees it as a threat and tries to eliminate it.
So it's like the RNA has this amazing potential, but it needs protection and a clear path to reach its destination.
Right, and that's where LNPs come in. Think of them as tiny delivery vehicles. They protect the RNA, keep it hidden from the immune system, and help it get inside the cell where it needs to be.
Okay, that makes sense. So LNPs are like the stealthy bodyguards for our fragile RNA molecules, but it's not just about getting past the immune system, is it?
Definitely not. Once the LNP carrying the RNA gets inside the cell, it gets trapped in this compartment called the endosome.
And that's a problem.
Kind of. The RNA needs to break out of that endosome to do its job. And that's another place where LNPs really shine.
So it's like escaping from a maze.
That's a great analogy. LNPs are designed to break free from the endosome, releasing the RNA at the right place at the right time.
Wow, it's pretty incredible when you think about all the things LNPs have to do to deliver that RNA payload successfully.
It's true, and it's a testament to how much progress has been made in the field.
You mentioned LNPs are just one type of RNA delivery system. There are viral vectors too, right?
Yes. Using viruses to deliver RNA has been studied for much longer. And while they are good at getting inside cells, they come with a potential risk of causing immune reactions.
And in some cases, even potentially leading to harmful mutations in a patient's DNA.
Exactly. It's all about safety and effectiveness.
Which is why LNPs are having such a moment right now.
They're definitely the hot topic in drug delivery research.
So let's zero in on what makes LNPs so unique and promising, especially since your research dives deep into their inner workings.
One thing that makes them so promising is their biocompatibility. Researchers have been able to design LNPs that are well tolerated by the body, which is key for any kind of therapeutic delivery.
And it's not a one-size-fits-all approach either, right? LNPs are incredibly versatile.
You got it. We can tweak and tailor their properties to work with different types of RNA and target them to specific tissues and organs in the body.
So we're not just talking about one type of LNP for all applications. It's more like having a whole toolbox of LNP designs, each optimized for a specific job.
Precisely. And that's incredibly powerful when it comes to developing new therapies.
It definitely sounds like a game changer. So, with that in mind, let's break down what makes these LNPs so special. Your research really goes into detail about what goes into designing these tiny delivery vehicles. All right, so we've talked about how LNPs act like these microscopic delivery trucks, but what exactly goes into building one of these things? Is it complicated?
Well, it's definitely more complex than just throwing some ingredients together.
Right. So, what are the key components of an LNP? What's the recipe?
So, at its core, you've got four main ingredients: ionizable lipids, cholesterol, helper lipids, and pegylated lipids.
Four main ingredients, huh? Let's
Yeah.
break those down. Starting with ionizable lipids, what makes them so special?
These are the real workhorses when it comes to endosomal escape. Remember that maze we talked about?
Oh, right, getting the RNA out of that cellular compartment.
Exactly. And ionizable lipids are key to that process. They have this unique ability to change their charge depending on the pH of their surroundings.
So, like a chameleon changing color, but instead it's their charge.
Exactly. In the bloodstream, where the pH is more neutral, they stay tucked in with a neutral charge. But when they hit the acidic environment of the endosome boom, they become positively charged.
Okay, I'm seeing where this is going.
Yeah.
The positive charge helps them escape that endosome.
You got it. That positive charge interacts with the negatively charged endosome membrane. It's like trying to force two magnets together with the same poles facing each other. It creates instability.
And that instability allows the RNA to escape. Clever. So, how do you know which ionizable lipids will work best? What should researchers be looking for?
Well, one critical factor is the pK value of the lipid. Essentially, the pK tells you how acidic the environment needs to be for the lipid to switch from neutral to positive, and there's a sweet spot for endosomal escape.
Yeah. What is it?
For most LNPs, you're looking at a PK between 6.2 and 6.5 for optimal endosomal escape.
Interesting. Are there any examples of these star ionizable lipids?
One that's been making waves is DLN-VESMC3-DMA. You'll find it in both the first FDA-approved Surin LNP drug, Onpattro, and, get this, Moderna's COVID vaccine.
Wow, that's quite the resume.
It is, and it's particularly good at targeting the liver.
I'm sensing a theme here. Different LNPs for different applications, just like you mentioned earlier.
Exactly. Now let's move on to the next ingredient in our LNP recipe, cholesterol.
Cholesterol, like the stuff that's bad for your heart.
Yep, the one and the same. But in the context of LNPs, it plays a vital role in stabilizing the structure of the nanoparticle.
Really? How so?
So cholesterol molecules actually help to hold the LNP together and improve its stability in the bloodstream. They also help the LNP fuse with cell membranes. Think of it like this. Cholesterol helps those tiny delivery trucks seamlessly merge onto the highway, so to speak.
That's a great analogy. So finding that sweet spot for cholesterol content is probably crucial, right? Too little, and the LNP falls apart too much, and it might not deliver the RNA effectively.
Right. Again, it's all about balance. Okay, ready for ingredient number three.
Hit me with it. What else goes into these LNPs?
Next up, we've got the helper lipids. Think of these as the support team for our LNPs. They might not be the star players, but they're crucial for making sure everything runs smoothly.
What do these helper lipids do?
They help fine-tune the LNP's structure, how it interacts with cell membranes, and how stable it is in the bloodstream. And a really cool thing about them is that they come in different shapes, which directly impacts their function.
Different shapes, huh? Tell me more about that.
You've got your phosphatidylcholines, or PCs, which are like the building blocks of cell membranes. They're cylindrical and form these nice, stable bilayers. Then you have phosphatidylethylamines, or PEs, which are cone-shaped. They prefer to form different structures and can actually promote membrane fusion.
So PCs for structure, PEs for fusion. It's like a well-choreographed dance inside these LNPs.
You could say that. Now, are you ready to hear about the last ingredient?
Lay it on me. What's the final touch for our LNP recipe?
Last but not least, we have the pegylated lipids. These are essential for giving our LNPs that stealthy camouflage we talked about earlier. Remember, we don't want the immune system spotting our LNPs and shutting down the whole operation.
So they're like the invisibility cloak, right? They help the LNP fly under the radar of the immune system. How do they do that?
It all comes down to a little something called polyethylene glycol, or PEG.
PEG. I've heard of that.
It's used in a lot of things, but in the LNP world, PEG acts like a disguise, shielding the nanoparticle from being detected by the immune system.
So you attach these PEG molecules to the surface of the LNP, and it's like giving it a disguise that the immune system doesn't recognize. Pretty sneaky.
Precisely. And just like with cholesterol, the right amount of PEG is key. Too much PEG, and the LNP might have trouble interacting with the target cell. Too little, and it risks being detected by the immune system.
So it all comes back to balance.
Balance is key. Finding the right ratio of all four of these ingredients is what makes LNP design so challenging, but also so fascinating.
Okay, so we've got our LNP recipe down, but how do we actually make these things? It's not like we can just whip them up in a kitchen blender, right?
You're right. It's a bit more high tech than that.
So walk me through it. How do we go from these ingredients to a treatment that's ready for clinical trials?
Well, one of the more established methods is called thin film hydration. It's been used for years to make liposomes, which are similar to LNPs, but a bit simpler in structure.
Okay, so how does this thin film hydration thing work?
Basically, you create a thin film of your lipids, kind of like a soap bubble, and then you introduce water. This causes the lipids to swell and spontaneously form those tiny particles.
Sounds pretty straightforward. So what's the catch?
Well, for large-scale LNP production, thin film hydration has some drawbacks. It's not the easiest method to scale up, and it can be tricky to get those LNPs to be uniform in size and structure, which is crucial for consistency.
So you need a really precise and controlled process, especially when we're talking about therapies for people.
Precisely. And that's where techniques like microfluidics come in. They offer a more sophisticated and scalable approach.
Microfluidics, huh? That sounds pretty high tech. What's the basic idea behind it?
Imagine tiny, precisely engineered channels, almost like a microscopic assembly line.
Okay, I'm picturing it. And our LNP ingredients flow through these channels.
Exactly. We're talking about our lipids dissolved in ethanol, along with our RNA solution. These are pumped through these microfluidic channels where they mix in a highly controlled manner.
And that's how those perfectly structured LNPs are formed.
That's the beauty of it. Microfluidics gives researchers exquisite control over the size, structure, and composition of the LNPs. It's like having this incredible microscopic factory.
It seems like this level of control would be absolutely crucial, especially when we're talking about something like vaccine production, right?
Yeah.
You need massive quantities with absolute consistency.
You nailed it. Microfluidics is a total game changer when it comes to large-scale, reproducible LNP manufacturing.
So we've got the recipe, we've got the manufacturing down. What's next for LNPs? What does the future hold for this technology?
Well, there's a lot of excitement about expanding LNP applications. We're seeing them being explored for a whole range of diseases, from cancer to genetic disorders to even infectious diseases like we've already seen with the COVID vaccines.
That's incredible. But I imagine there are still some challenges to overcome, right? I mean, no technology is perfect.
Absolutely. Research is constantly evolving. One hurdle is figuring out the storage and transport of some of these LNPs. Some, like Onpattro, the siRNA therapy we talked about earlier, are quite stable at standard refrigerator temperatures. But others, like the Pfizer COVID vaccine, need those ultra-low freezing temperatures.
And that could be a huge logistical challenge. Not every place has access to that kind of specialized storage.
You're right. That's why researchers are exploring things like lyophilization, which is a fancy way of saying freeze drying. The idea is to remove the water from the LNPs, turning them into a powder that can be stored at more manageable temperatures.
So we could potentially say goodbye to those ultra-low freezers.
Potentially. Lyophilization is still being explored, but it holds promise for making LNP storage and transportation much simpler, which could be a game changer for global access to these therapies.
It's amazing to think about how far LNP technology has come in such a short time. We've gone from these basic building blocks to these incredibly sophisticated delivery vehicles that have the potential to revolutionize medicine.
And we're really just scratching the surface. It's an exciting time to be following this field, that's for sure.
It certainly is. Well, there you have it. We've covered a lot of ground in this deep dive. We've explored the ins and outs of lipid nanoparticles, from their basic structure and function to their manufacture, and the challenges that still lie ahead. LNPs are more than just hype. They're already changing the face of medicine. With ongoing research and continued innovation, the future of LNP technology looks incredibly bright, with the potential to bring about life-changing treatments for a wide range of diseases. Thanks for joining us on this incredible journey into the world of LNPs.